China claims it's eliminated extreme rural poverty. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vishala Sripathma in for Victoria Craig. Good morning. A miracle is how the Chinese leader Xi Jinping described his achievement of eradicating extreme poverty. State media credited Xi's leadership with lifting nearly 100 million people from absolute destitution, although there has been some debate over the definition of what that is. China defines extreme rural poverty per capita as $1.69 a day, which is short of the World Bank's threshold of $1.90. Nevertheless, this has been a wide-reaching program by the Chinese, with $25 billion spent on the initiative. The BBC's Stephen McDonnell reports now from Beijing.
At a special ceremony at the Great Hall of the People here in Beijing, Xi Jinping declared complete victory in the battle to eliminate extreme rural poverty in China. State media has been lauding the leadership of the Communist Party General Secretary for achieving this turnaround. The government says that over an eight-year period, nearly 100 million people have been lifted out of poverty. In China, extreme poverty is defined as earning less than $620 a year. Some analysts have questioned whether, in some cases, merely raising people's incomes to slightly more than this meagre amount necessarily boosts their living standards beyond a condition of genuine hardship.
That was Steve McDonnell in Beijing. Staying in China, move over Tesla. There's a new electric kid in town. The competition in the electric car market is heating up with a new budget model turning heads. The Hongguang Mini is a car built by China's top automaker, SAIC Motor, alongside General Motors. Last month, sales of the HGM were around double those of the high-end Teslas, as Sean Rain of the China Market Research Group in Shanghai explains.
The Hongguang Mini EV is selling like crazy in China. Over 25,000 were sold in January alone. And the real reason is because it's cheap. It's about $4,500. Some of the models don't even have an air conditioner. But for a lot of Chinese, especially in poorer regions, buying that car is part of the new Chinese dream.
And how popular are electric cars in general in China?
China's government is really supporting EVs. They're working with real estate developers to install charging stations in all new malls, and they're refurbishing parking lots of old malls. China wants to take the lead globally in adopting EV car use. And it's especially popular because the government makes it very easy to get a license plate if you're driving an EV. If you're trying to buy a combustible engine car, it can be very expensive and almost impossible to actually get approved for a license plate. In Shanghai, it costs over $15,000 to get a license plate. So for electric vehicles, China's government tells consumers you can get one for free and you can get one immediately when you buy the car.
So they're making it very easy then to enter that market. The only thing that remains is the price tag, and this model is competitively priced.
Yeah, so the government, they're making it cheap. If you're in Shanghai and you're able to get a license plate for a combustible engine, it costs $15,000, which is more than three times the price of the Hongguang Mini EV.
So, Sean, it sounds like the electric car market is very competitive, and perhaps this budget vehicle is disrupting it slightly, but Teslas are still popular.
And they're completely disrupting the auto market. Tesla sold 13,000 vehicles in January. I think a lot of the foreign players, from Volkswagen to Porsche, there's a chance they might go out of business if they're not able to catch up to Tesla, NIO, and other Chinese electric vehicle manufacturers, because that is clearly the trend in China. And China is the largest auto market in the world, selling around 20 million autos a year.
It sounds like these car makers see the scale that China can give them.
Yeah, the electric vehicle makers, especially the Chinese ones, see the scale because they have the support of the Chinese government, they have the infrastructure and charging stations, and there's just massive demand by Chinese consumers who are willing and have the money to buy electric vehicles today. So this is the market for EV.
Sean Rain, founder and managing director of the China Market Research Group in Shanghai, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
I look at the markets, European indices starting the day in the green, with technology and mining shares leading the gains. Government agencies in India are probing dozens of money lending apps after they were accused of violating rules and using aggressive methods of recovering loan amounts. It's prompted the likes of Google to remove some of these apps from its online store. The BBC's Arunde Mukherjee reports now from Delhi.
The voice you hear is of a loan recovery agent threatening a borrower. The man says, if you don't pay up, we will call your friends and family and tell them you're a defaulter. The threats soon turn intimidating and abusive. These kind of daily phone calls became a nightmare for Vinita Teresa. Vinita claims she received hundreds of calls every single day, and even changing her number didn't stop the harassment.
I would like to call myself strong, but having that stress, not able to focus on my family, it took a toll on my children as well.
Some of these instant loan apps charge a high processing fee of roughly $30 per loan, but offer loans as small as $150 for periods as short as 15 days. Before they know it, the borrower is being harassed and exploring other loan apps offering higher loan amounts. While some of these loan apps are regulated, there are many that aren't. Some ask for access to your contacts after download. Complainants claim that once they have the numbers on your phone, the harassment begins. Reports suggest hundreds of instant loan apps surfaced and thrived when millions lost their jobs in the lockdown due to COVID-19 and were in need of quick and easy cash. Praveen Kalaisilvan, a cybercrime investigator in Mumbai, describes the scale of those facing harassment daily.
This 8 months, we have received more than 46,000 complaints and 49,000 distress calls.
India has launched a massive investigation, and in December, based on several complaints, nearly 20 people were arrested for cheating and harassing customers. But cybersecurity experts like Amit Dubey say a lot of times a series of apps have one developer, hosted on the same server, often in China, away from Indian jurisdiction.
These criminals are really interested in your personal data, because this data can be sold, the data can be shared with many criminals and even in dark web.
As intermediaries connecting borrowers and lenders, it is difficult to ban these apps. Experts say until laws can regulate them, creating awareness may be the only way to stop the menace of these predatory loan apps. In Delhi, I'm the BBC's Arunoday Mukherjee for Marketplace.
And in London, I'm Vishala Sripathma with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.